Good afternoon on Alaska. We are back here on KUCB 89.7 FM, your community radio station. And we are live in the studio trying to take calls from the community, from our listeners, just kind of this wide-ranging discussion about air service. The plane crash on October 17th has had short, we think long, impacts to the community, to our ability to travel. And so we've been really happy to have so many people call in, write in, share kind of their thoughts, their big questions. It's going to inform our reporting going forward, the questions that we pose to city officials, to airline officials when we talk to them. It's going to really do a lot for our coverage to know what matters to you, so thank you. And I also hope that it's just been a good space to hear some new perspectives and maybe to start thinking or articulating what's important to you as we expect this discussion to continue in a lot of different formats and mediums and with different partners kind of probably for a long time with the community. So we'll take a few more questions and calls, but I also wanted to say that we have a guest who's joined us in the studio. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Carlin Enlow, and I am on the other side of the Broom Road Chapel at the Visitors Bureau. And the Visitors Bureau has been trying to involve itself a little bit in this just because you can't have tourism without transportation, and this is pretty significant, I think, and we've been doing what we can to be involved.
Well, we appreciate you swinging by, and we're going to talk kind of about that perspective from the Visitors Bureau, and maybe also hear a little bit more about where this discussion will continue later this week. But first, Hope, it looks like we have another comment coming through.
We do. It is about the Raven Rewards Program. It says, it seems like Unalaska is out of alignment with the Raven Points Program. It's not a fair program for Unalaska. You get 10 points per segment flown, and it takes a minimum of 100 points for a round-trip rewards ticket. It seems like they are equating a 27-minute flight to Kenai, which costs $95, with a 4-plus-hour Unalaska flight that costs upwards of $600.
Okay, so getting a little bit more information kind of about how Raven's Rewards Program works and how it maybe does or doesn't stack up to the Alaska Airlines Mileage Program, which so many folks are familiar with. And so you get the idea that, yeah, that Raven's system is based on points. You get 10 points per segment flown, and it takes a minimum of 100 points to earn a round-trip rewards ticket. It seems like they are equating a 27-minute flight to Kenai, which costs $95, with a 4-plus-hour Unalaska flight that costs upwards of $600. And so that's an interesting comparison to make, that Raven is a big carrier in Alaska. I think they're one of the biggest regional carriers, maybe the biggest, and they have a lot of different routes. So it's interesting to perhaps do some comparisons between the Unalaska Anchorage and what might be other community flights and how those stack up. But that would be something I'd be very curious to put to Raven is how does that make sense? If they want to have the points program play out that way, that does seem to be a discrepancy, that those two things maybe wouldn't be so equivalent. A short flight to Kenai and an Unalaska flight, that those are sort of on different tracks there. But I appreciate people kind of looking into to where those things stand and bringing those perspectives forwards. And then we also heard from we heard from Mike from Facebook who kind of had the different perspective that you know, the deal maybe that was in play before was very generous. And so it's great to kind of collect some perspectives on affordability and how that kind of influences Unalaska's cost of living, which we've been hearing. And looks like we may have a caller, but I'm not gonna do it just yet. I will say, though, that we're taking callers here at 581-2161, and it is now confirmed. We do have a caller. Hope, let's hear who it is. Hi there. You're on KUCB.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name's Andy. I just wanted to call in and make some comments.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to echo some of the previous callers that it really would be nice to hear some more information from Raven and from Alaska on the specifics of the dealings going on. And I know sometimes that's sensitive topics with businesses and whatnot, but I think we know that safe aviation can occur here. It has for decades. And I think we know that the economics of an aircraft such as Dash 8 or the 340 or the 2000 have shown that the economics are successful for having a partnership there, a capacity agreement, so Alaska Airlines miles can be used. So I don't think those facts are disputed, and we're seeing quite clearly how important the mileage program is. And I appreciated the comment that perhaps we've had it good here, and I think, yeah, some of those miles deals were good, and our family, certainly have been appreciative of them. But the economics have also worked, clearly. They've done that for a long time. So it definitely leaves me curious of what is the holdup at this point. Does Raven wanting more per seat from Alaska Airlines for a capacity agreement? Is Alaska Airlines a little bit shy about their safety record? Is a combination of the two? I'm sure it's some blend there, but it would be nice to hear something a little more definitive. It probably was smart of them to give themselves 6 months of breathing room, but I am appreciative of our council continuing to want to push on that, because it seems like it can just sort of fade into the background and now there's service. But any sort of horsepower that was there from Alaska Airlines side with regard to customer service or getting people rebooked or holding the carrier to a certain safety standard, that seems to be totally gone now, and that could be very unfortunate for us all. Concerning, and thanks for letting me speak. Thanks for the show, and I'll listen to more discussion offline. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy. We appreciate your comments. Well, thank you so much to Andy there for bringing up kind of a thing or an aspect of the discussion that I don't know that we've gotten into a ton. Like we've been saying, there's a lot to talk about, and we're certainly not going to exhaust it now. But the idea of the economic viability, the business viability of this route, and perhaps Carlin, we can loop you in on this, especially speaking from the tourism and you know what makes Unalaska a place to come to. It's like we obviously are focused, a lot of us, on the community member, you know, impacts. This is a big part of, you know, daily lives of people, but we also have a massive port. We also have growing tourism, and it has a big scale to it. I think we've heard estimates that there are 56,000 passengers that come in and out of the community through our airport, according to some city council numbers. So it's sizable.
Yeah. So first off, I just want to say that UVB is going to be hosting kind of a community gathering meeting to discuss moving forward from flight 3296, and it'll kind of piggyback off of KUCB's call-in event today. But it will be a little bit more geared towards the community as a whole and maybe even a business perspective. I'd like to hear how this has impacted the community and businesses short-term, long-term. What is the ripple effect of this? And what could we do to brainstorm to communicate with Raven and Alaska Airlines, or find out what they need from us as a community, and then also discuss, you know, what our community is going to look like if this is the new normal.
And for folks who are interested in attending that, which I imagine there will be plenty, what do they need to know?
Yes. So this is going to be at the Dan Mussoni Conference Room in the Unalaska Public Library this Thursday, December 5th at 6 p.m. Everyone's welcome to come. Come with your thinking cap and your problem-solving skills. And let's just get the ball rolling on some progressive discussion and constructive thought process.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about that, but we do have a caller, so let's hear from them, and then we'll keep talking. Hi there, you're on KUCB.
Hi, enjoying the discussion. This is Doug Leggett, and just wanted to call and comment, I guess. I've been pacing around listening to this like maybe a lot of people are.
Well, thank you, Doug, for calling in.
It's such a broad subject, and there's so much emotion involved, maybe that makes people a little nervous to be on the phone about it. But a few things kind of come to mind. Talking about this mileage plan, I remember when I first came here late 80s, 32 years ago, it was Mark Air, and I had no idea where I was flying to, landing on a gravel runway in the middle of nowhere. But in those days, thinking about the mileage plan, there were no credit card deals. The only miles you earned were actual flight miles, and that was Alaska flight miles that you could cash in on Mark Air. So my memory back to then is that Alaska has always had their thumb on every other airline that's been here. I don't know previous to that, but the time period when Mark Air decided to compete with Alaska is when Alaska brought their jet in here to basically, I think, run Mark Air off the island. So up until then, they had a mileage program deal, and then they worked together. So when you circle around to the mileage thing being offered by Raven, which I found offensive, I guess, along the lines of we're taking over and here's our mileage plan, I don't know much about it, but I assume that you can't use any of that anywhere besides Raven. So part of the benefit of the Alaska plan is that you can fly Alaska outside on cheaper flights to help compensate for the price of this flight. So it's a two-way street. I know it seems like just about everybody in town has a credit card to earn miles, and a lot of us just put every dollar we spend on those cards. And that's part of the foundation we've built to live here over 30 years, is to play their games and it's like coupons at the store. So I'm trying to make it affordable for everybody, right? But those games have been going on for 30 years that I've been here. On the other hand, we talk about the cost of the flight. Well, what is everybody paying for those seats? All we know is the stuff from the website or from up front when you walk up to pay cash, and it's $600, and that's not a big change. But what does everybody else pay? What is the real revenue off of those seats? Does the industry pay the same price as people who walk up to the counter? And I think understanding the economics of that would be a big help. But I'm probably rambling here. But I would also say that this thing, I think, has shaken. It goes to the foundation of the community, and it's shaken like an earthquake, everybody, and it goes to the confidence of being able to fly in and out of here safely. The money is one thing, but having confidence that you will be able to get a seat and be able to travel safely, and I'm sure you could talk to a lot of people who would be not uncomfortable flying out, but they're afraid of coming back. I can tell you that I've canceled two trips already. Canceled a family trip to visit my son for Thanksgiving, and I'm really struggling with the idea of flying my son, who's a college student, back into here after he gets out of school on the 20th of December. And if you miss that little window between the 20th and 25th because of weather or something, then you're stuck for a month. So it's also left us afraid to go out this time of year because we can't get back before Christmas. So if you go out right now, you're probably stuck till the end of January. And so it does lead you to think about what you're doing living here. I know plenty of families in the past, previous to this, have decided that it's cheaper to leave the family outside and whoever's working flies in and out and works. So long term, I think it leads to this becoming more of a work camp and less of a family community. You know, you think about the difficulty of recruiting employees. You think about trying to support the school and school teachers and people to come out here and live here. And if you take out the transportation, it starts to erode all those things. And the schools are a big part of reasons for families to live here. So now that I'm rambling, I don't know. I could probably talk all day about it because it's been that frustrating, you know, for me.
No, Doug, you got at so many things that we've been talking about and so many more. So we really appreciate your comments. No rambling at all, I swear.
Yeah, well, I feel like the whole community could use a big bonfire or something and get together and kind of let their emotions out. And maybe we need to do something like that. I feel really abandoned, I guess, by the airlines and the lack of communication. Like I say, I've been flying out here for 30 years, exclusively Alaska Airlines everywhere I go, and I make those longer trips outside. You try and find cheaper, longer trips outside to earn miles so that you can mitigate the cost of getting in and out of here. It's something that we've all built our little economic family models on, and it's a big shift to lose that stuff. Even just being able to connect flights or shop for flights that connect to good seats and cheaper fares going beyond Anchorage, you know, losing all that is a big deal. So, and to the mileage thing, I think people think about it as free seats, but you pay for those miles. It's not free. There's nothing free. You know, either you buy the miles outright or you bought groceries at Safeway or whatever you did, those miles are earned miles. And so it's not about free flights, but I think getting the community on the level playing field with the industry for the ticket prices, I've told them in the past at a city council meeting they had years ago about the when they created the local access thing, I think, that they could throw away all the mileage games and all that stuff and give us one low price so we're all paying the same price. We would probably fly more. But we play those games because in the background there's bigger groups, I think, that are getting cheaper fares, and we're just trying to get onto that playing field. And it's the only access to it, you know. I think a lot of the expensive ticket prices are also paid for by medical trips, people's insurance, or native health stuff that they're paying for trips, and they're paying the full boat on that stuff that helps support the airline. But I've kind of adopted myself the little motto of just shelter in place. I feel kind of trapped here. And actually reminded me of the story of the cave divers in Thailand, was it? The kids that got trapped in the cave. I feel a little bit trapped like that. And the only way out is to get in this small little tube and trust them to get you out and back safely. And honestly kind of wondering when the next cruise ship is in the spring. Maybe we'll take that.
Well, Doug, thank you so much.
Sorry.
No, I also really appreciate you speaking to kind of the emotional and kind of like psychological effects that I think I am hearing from a lot of people. But like you said, it's hard to talk about those things.
Yeah.
But I think they're very much happening. So I appreciate you speaking to that.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for us because we're kind of newly empty nesters, and both our sons are out of town, and I flew in on the flight just before the accident, and my son flew south the day before from Anchorage and for a week and a half, and I've discouraged him from coming back so far because of the lack of confidence in the airline. So if they would speak up a little, maybe they could do something to help the confidence of the city. But I've, you know, a lot of people just afraid to go out and back. You know, I've heard secondhand of people that are expecting children and are kind of talking about trying to have them here because they don't want to fly out and back. So it runs deep, and I'm thankful you guys are kind of giving a voice to it in a small way here, and maybe that can grow. But I don't think people that don't live here and aren't stuck here can understand from outside because they're used to being able to jump on the highway and they have choices in different airlines and choices in the road systems, et cetera, and we really only have one way out. So,
well, thank you so much for all of your comments, Doug. We're gonna kind of make note of a lot of it for KUCB's reporting purposes, but I think we'll all be thinking about them a lot, just generally as community members. And like you said, this is kind of a part one, not even a part one, but one part of a lot. So, thank you for helping us to continue the discussion. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And yes, thank you so much to Doug there. That was great. Great to hear some reflections on the history of Unalaska's kind of air service and how the mileage or partnership kind of programs between different airlines extend back quite a ways. And again, just to say thank you to him for speaking to the you know, like we talk about, the financials is very important. The convenience, the access to medical. All of that is obviously so important, but to someone to speak to the emotional part is big and is hard to do, especially on the radio, like he said. So thank you to him for doing that. And if anybody wants to share related to that, but isn't super comfortable doing it in this setting, you know, keep in mind that there's that Thursday meeting where the discussion will continue, or that we'll be taking comments via Facebook and email, anonymously or not, for as long as anybody wants to send them here at KUCB. So we really appreciate that half of the discussion too. And I am hearing from Carlin, for those who maybe have their eye on a cruise ship, that the first one is scheduled. Is that right?
Yes, I think it's May 13th off the top of my head. So if you're looking to get on the cruise ship, there's your opportunity. We're still waiting to hear on the summer ferry schedule if we'll be getting any testimony visits or not. But if not, you know, that's a heightened added factor to our transportation crisis. And that'll make our summer really, really interesting, especially if Alaska Airlines doesn't reinstate their service out here starting in June. So, yeah, something that kind of sticks out to me, I hear a lot of, you know, I know this is a very emotional time for people. It has to do with their families and their finances. And I hear a lot of words like abandonment, heightened isolation, wanting to be treated equal or fairly. And I'm kind of concerned for, you know, I've heard concerns for the economic viability of the community, but I'm also kind of concerned about the overall kind of like mental quality of our community too. And, you know, the holidays are already really difficult for some people. And then just having this, like I said, heightened feeling of isolation maybe for some is probably pretty tormenting.
And to that point, we should mention that, yes, it's a hard time and it's a hard thing to talk about. And especially if you're feeling kind of trapped and isolated, it's especially hard. So we should always be reiterating and spread the word to your family and friends, and know for yourself that the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association has a mental health, behavioral health team here on the island, Delta Badar, Jimbakaitis. They are local providers, and we have resources. I wonder, Hope, if we can pull up when the crash first happened, we did publish some of those phone numbers, and off the top of my head, I can't remember them, but we'll pull them up and share them now, and then you can always find them on KUCB. But we want to make sure that you know that those resources are available, whether it's related to this plane crash and the situation that's followed, or anything else, that there are people who have training and help and resources for whatever you may need. So we at KUCB always want to encourage you to take good care of yourself and take care of your family and your friends. And we're pulling up some information now. Hope, do we have numbers to share?
We do have a phone number for the Unalaska Wellness Center, and that is 907-581-2742. That's 581-2742. And you can reach out to behavioral health people there for anything you might be going through or anything you're feeling right now.
Absolutely. And I know, too, that, you know, they'll take your calls to make an appointment if you want to, you know, speak to somebody, but they'll also refer you to other types of resources. They have a lot kind of in their repertoire there with what they can help. So give them a call, see what's on offer and what might be helpful to you. But I think that emotional psychological component is very true. And we want to make sure that you have the resources you need. So please keep that in mind. Thank you for kind of speaking to that, Carlin, and to Doug. So what else do you want to tell us about the Thursday meeting? You know, you talked about wanting to come with kind of maybe some solutions-oriented mindsets, to maybe also talk about the business side. Anything specific that people should be thinking about as they kind of prepare their thoughts, prepare to kind of maybe step into that space and that discussion?
Yeah, so Thursday's meeting, once again, that's going to be December 5th at 6 p.m. At the Public Library. GCI will be sponsoring some cookies and snacks and coffee. So it'll be a little bit more of a discussion and brainstorming session and setting. And I really, you know, I've gotten some outreach from outside of the community, whether it be news sources or consultants, wondering, you know, what is the ripple effect of this, big and small. Mostly, I think they're concerned or, you know, interested in hearing about the business side of that, especially small businesses. Had an inquiry about shipping fish products off the island versus flying them off. Has that been impacted? I don't think a large percentage of our fish products are flown off, so I don't know that. But wanting to find out little things like that, you know, I have ways that I know the Visitors Bureau is being impacted, and I have ways that I know I'm personally impacted, but I'm sure there's so much more I just haven't thought of or don't know of. And so compiling a list of the ripple effects and whatnot is part of the goal for this community meeting. And, you know, also kind of getting together and discussing what direction we think even the city should be going. And if we can get more information from Raven Alaska Airlines, what they want from us as a community, or what we could be doing to help them in this process, if we can be doing anything. And then, yeah, once again, you know, if this is the new normal, what's our community going to look like? Something that stuck out in my mind that Doug just said is you know, you might see families exiting the community while the husband or wife or partner or whatnot that has the main job is the one that flies to and from Dutch, and then the family lives off the island. So what would that do to our school? What does that do to our community overall? And yeah, I feel like because we're not hearing from the airlines, and I'm assuming it's just because they don't have answers right now, but it makes us feel like we're kind of in limbo, I think, as a community. And for some people, that's more significant to others, but the uncertainty is kind of overwhelming.
And we've been getting at a lot of that, I think, over this discussion. I think it's great to hear from you, Carlin, that there's going to be another opportunity very soon to continue talking about these things. And so with that in mind, I'll put out kind of one final plug to say, if you want to contribute to this discussion, we'd love to hear from you. We'll continue on for a little bit longer before we kind of wrap up, and know that we'll continue it elsewhere. But if you'd like to chime in at this point, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 581-2161. Shoot us an email, info@kucb.org, or hop on Facebook and leave us a comment at KUCB's Facebook page. We've been getting a ton of input and a variety of experiences, and we really appreciate that. It's a big thing for everyone to be wrapping their minds around, and as the community radio station and your newsroom, we want to do our best to help, you know, whether it's now or down the line, acquire as many answers as we can, help to speak to your experiences and make sure that's reflected in the community coverage that you're seeing and that you're hearing on our airwaves. And so every person who shares their ideas and their thoughts and their experiences really helps us do our jobs better. And we want to do that on behalf of you. So thank you so much for working towards that with us, and helping us continuing to understand what this means. We'll keep at it. With that said, I wonder, Carlin, what else are we not talking about? What else, if anything, do you think is important to be getting at, like, now? I wonder, you know, you mentioned the ferries, for instance, and we don't know with the state budget what is going to happen with the ferry system. There have been a lot of state budget cuts, if you've been following that. The ferry system is one of the things that are affected. We already have sort of limited Tustamina runs. We may not have that. You know, we are kind of in the holiday season right now. You know, outside of kind of the local immediate impacts or some of the business impacts we've been talking about, do you have any larger, like, tourism kind of concerns like you've been talking about in terms of the Visitors Bureau perspective? We don't know about our flights. We don't know about our ferries. What does that mean kind of from your side, thinking about tourism?
Well, I don't see how this impacts the cruise ship so much as I do the indie travelers, the individual travelers. We don't have that's not a large percentage of our visitors, but our individual travelers are actually mostly local Alaskans that come out here. And so, you know, people that take the Tustamina out on chain sailing and then spend a day or two here and then fly out or fly in and then take the Tustamina back in towards Homer. These individual travelers, this is really where, you know, I know that the museum makes better income off of them and their gift shop as opposed to cruise ship passengers and whatnot, but the budget should be out on December 16th, and I'm sure there will be a bunch of back and forth, so hopefully we'll see if we're going to get any Testamina sailings. Hopefully we'll know for sure before or by January. I've heard kind of mixed reviews, positive and negative. I really genuinely do not know if we're going to have any testy sailings, but if I were to bet, I'd probably lean towards no or very limited. And then with the flight services, it's just a big, it depends on the traveler. It makes it less affordable for people that would have used Alaska Airlines miles. I mean, something that I was actually going to kind of market for this coming summer is that it's cheaper to be out here in the summertime than it is Anchorage. You know, you could have gotten Alaska Airlines mileage tickets for 7,500 miles each way. And our hotel and our lodging options are actually cheaper out here in the summertime than they are right in Anchorage. And so that's something that I probably won't even get to harness as a marketing program this year. It makes it very difficult to market us when I can't even, you know, I'm hesitant to produce or update any print material, especially because if something's going to change here in the next few months, or if it's going to continue changing every several months or over the years, then what's the point in producing new or updated print material if you get that material and you start distributing it and all of a sudden a couple months later everything changes? So, you know, even just as simple something like we have rack cards and little brochures that we send around statewide and to trade shows down south, and they distribute them for us, and those are overdue to be updated. But on the spiel that talks about transportation, you know, it says you have one of three ways of getting here, advertises the cruise ships. It says Penn Air through Alaska Airlines and the ferry. And so if we're not going to have the ferry or Alaska Airlines, and we don't know who our main carrier is going to be for air carrier service, our consistent air carrier service over the next year, then, what's the point of spending money on updating that?
And I imagine that there's probably a version of that, you know, that other business owners or organizations are thinking about.
Absolutely.
In terms of how do you speak about it in Alaska, and how do you let people know what's on offer? And like you said, it's maybe not the biggest part of this equation, but it is a piece of the puzzle. So I appreciate you speaking to that. Well, you know, we've had a lot of really great engagement on our show today, and we're so happy to hear that. And so I think it doesn't look like we have anything brand new right now, but I did want to kind of just wrap up by reading from some of the questions that we've submitted to Alaska Airlines and Raven from KUCB's newsroom perspective. We have kind of a live list that we just keep adding to and you know, preparing. And so I'll jot down, or I'll share some of the questions that have been jotted down. And maybe those are things that the community already has on their mind, or maybe they'll point out something brand new. In which case, you know, feel free to shoot us an email, info@KUCB, post on Facebook. We'll be checking those things, you know, always. And so if it doesn't occur to you right now, or if some new facet comes to mind, or if you want to keep chewing things over, like, please reach out whenever the time is right. It does not have to be on the show. So let's see. You know, how did Raven arrive at the price it is charging for these new schedule of flights? I also am curious to talk to them kind of before flights resumed and ask about how many charter flights did they fly between Unalaska and Anchorage during that month-long suspension? How many travelers did they end up accommodating? Also, still haven't heard any numbers on how many people were actually affected by the suspension with the cancellation of the flights that were booked. How many people did have their flights canceled? How many refunds were issued? Kind of what does that represent? I'm still hoping to hear that at some point, because like you said, it's a lot to quantify those impacts, and there's so many to look at. So that's one of them that I'm hoping to answer. I do want to ask them about, you know, the idea of price gouging, and we're talking about it now in the context of flights having resumed, but I also wanted to not forget about the charter period, the period of the suspension, and say, you know, there was discussion of price gouging with the charters and the fact that they were flying charters during a time when there were no regular flights. And I'm hoping to ask the airlines kind of how they might respond to that criticism and what that, you know, what that looks like to them. And specifically, you know, how much revenue was generated from the charters they flew, and then how would that revenue kind of compare to if that month had gone just as planned, you know, if it was just regular flights, you know, was it something where they made more money? Did they make less money? I'd love to kind of hear those numbers from them. So we have that on our list. Yes, again, wanting to hear how many travelers were affected by the suspension, how many refunds were issued, what it kind of looked like for the support they said they were providing for stranded travelers with some housing or meal compensation. What did that add up to ultimately? How many people received those services, and what did that represent? I'm also curious to ask them, with the pilots who were flying the plane that crashed, are they eligible to fly again? You know, have they been flying? That isn't information that I've been able to track down yet. There is no reason they can't fly unless the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, or the airline themselves, you know, takes action against those pilots or has disciplinary proceedings. And the FAA, I asked if they had any action against the airlines as a result of the crash, or rather against the pilots as a result of the crash, and they said they could not answer that answer the question at that time given the ongoing investigation. So I don't know, and I'm hoping to hear a little bit more about the pilots and what their flying status is. We talked about, yes, what is the status of the relationship between Raven and Alaska Airlines. Wanting to continue to tease out where they're at, what are they discussing, why haven't they come to an agreement yet, and do they still hope to do so in the future? Again, we want to ask about why the Saab 2000 was suspended for safety reasons, even though the NTSB did not require that. Hoping to hear more about the types of safety checks that Raven is performing on the Saabs, as they have said that they're doing in press release statements. We're curious what kind of criteria they're using when they're deciding when the Saab 2000 is ready to resume, as they said that they plan to do. And we are also curious to ask them who is conducting these safety checks and this, you know, the criteria that's in play. Who's kind of the overseer there? Is it them? Is it some other outside entity? I'm also hoping to ask, why did Raven initially announce that they would resume regular flights on October 22nd? I'm not sure that's something I've heard mentioned too widely, but after the plane crash on the 17th, it was initially announced that flights would resume the following Tuesday. And that would have been, you know, 5 days, not insubstantial, but it would have been a lot sooner than about 1 month. So I'm hoping to hear more about why that initial announcement that the flights would resume on that Tuesday, and then what changed after that. Why did it go from 5 days to 1 month? And I imagine it has something to do with, you know, the Saabs and those safety checks. But I'm hoping to hear about that. I think, again, how many Dash 8s are going to be dedicated to Unalaska's route going forward? Will those planes also be flying other routes? If there are delays or cancellations due to the weather, are there enough planes and pilots to run extra sections, as we sometimes need, especially come January? Yeah, I feel like that's probably enough of me reading questions, but that's kind of like a section of the list that we have compiled and that we are hoping to put to Alaska Airlines and or Raven. As we move forward, we are continuing to ask them for interviews and we are continuing to ask them for information. So we'll keep on that. And if you have things that you want to add to that list, we would love, love, love to hear them. So please keep us in mind at KUCB. And why don't we take any closing thoughts from Carlin while we see if this is maybe one last phone call. We'll see. Any closing thoughts, Carlin, or maybe we should just promo your meeting one more time. Where can people go? What's going to happen?
All right. So for one more time, our community gathering and meeting is going to be Thursday, December 5th at 6 p.m. Dan Masoni Conference Room in the Unalaska Public Library. Bring any sort of constructive feedback you have and problem-solving skills, and kind of come join us at this brainstorming session.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Carlin, again for joining us. This was great to have you on. And we're going to take one final phone call. Let's bring him on, Hope. Hi there, you're on KUCB.
Hi, one more caller again. This is Doug again. Just a couple of points as I'm listening there. When I hear you say that the Saab was suspended, I think it's a little bit inaccurate. They're still flying that airplane every day.
Right. I do mean for this route. That is a good clarification.
Right.
The Saab is flying.
I think that kind of shows that the issue is not so much with the airplane, The other question I would include in your list there is what happened to the people, you know, Pinair got bought out, they bought out all the equipment, but what happened to the people that were operating this flight safely for years, and why are they not still there? I think would be a question that also goes to the economics of supporting an airline out here and being able to support the people in the background so that they stick around and keep us safe.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Doug. I think that's a good question. You know, in the bankruptcy proceedings and in the purchase, there's a lot in play there that is not probably, you know, easy or commonplace knowledge for the average person. And within that process, how does that affect the staffing? You know, how many employees carried over? I think there's probably some changes. So it'd be great to dig into that. And I do want to, again, reiterate your point to anybody listening, if I was not being as precise as I ought to be with my language, that yes, when we talk about the suspension of the Saab 2000, I am speaking specifically about the Unalaska to Anchorage route, since we're kind of doing a community show. But that is not to say that that plane is not flying elsewhere, which we know that it is. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, it's in Cold Bay and Sandpoint and Dillingham and Bethel, I think, every day. So.
Absolutely.
Great.
Well, you're the final caller, Doug. Is there anything else you'd want to put out there and leave us with as we wrap up our show?
I just would encourage, as you did, I guess, after I call it, people that are stressing about this, maybe find some place to talk to somebody. I think it's easy to think that people that were on the plane maybe need some counseling, but I think the whole city could use, everybody could use some conversation. Everybody's got some thoughts or feelings or whatever, so.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Doug, for both of your calls. We really appreciate your comments and the ones that we've received from everybody. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. All right. Well, that was Doug again with some nice finishing thoughts. We will reiterate again that, yes, if this is an emotional experience, which I think it is for so many of us, please seek out those resources. They're always on KUCB.org. You can find them there. And please, if you have further thoughts, if you have more that we didn't get to today, we'd love to hear from you in the future. And we won't take any more today, but I'll just say again that you can give us a call at KUCB. You can email us info@KUCB.org, or that Facebook page is going to stay right there, so leave us some comments. We'll be looking at it. So thank you so much again to everybody who contributed and helped us kind of continue this discussion today. Please keep in mind that the Visitors Bureau is holding their talk on Thursday at the library at 6:00. And KUCB will follow the story. So, you know, continue to listen to our newscast. Check out our website. We'll be always kind of reporting information as it becomes available. But for now, we'll leave you. This is KUCB 89.7 FM, and we hope you have a wonderful Tuesday ahead of you. Take care.